From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. In the past half century, with the expansion of the black middle class, America's communities of color have begun to splinter along generational and class lines. Never have those lines been more critically exposed than when Bill Cosby made his now infamous comments at an NAACP event last year.
It's time for you to not accept this language that these people are speaking, which will take them nowhere. What the hell good is Brown versus the Board of Education if nobody wants it?
Author, minister, and scholar Michael Eric Dyson uses Cosby's words as a jumping-off point for his new book, Is Bill Cosby Right, or Has the Black Middle Class Lost Its Mind? Dyson examines the growing intolerance that threatens to divide black America into have-nots and what he calls the have-gots. He suggests Cosby went wrong by laying blame at the feet of poor African Americans.
I have no interest in romanticizing poor black people, having been one of them myself in our beloved hometown of Detroit. But what is equally intriguing is that Mr. Cosby has been made out to be a moral exception and a leader who has not come from the same stream of thinking as other black leaders. That's just not true. Every black leader, from W.E.B. Du Bois to Frederick Douglass to Dorothy Height, Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr., on and on and on, have seen the necessity of a twin approach. On the one hand, to talk about personal responsibility as the price we must pay. And on the other hand, we have to demand of the broader society that it remove all impediments that prevent us from flourishing.
Let's take the same thought, though, to a different comedian, Mike, and in one of his classic stand-ups, Chris Rock talked about that I love black folk, but I hate the N-word.
Right.
And truth be told, when doors are closed and it's just us, and let me air some of the dirty laundry, sometimes we will sit around and say, you know how them peoples is.
No doubt, no doubt.
There is a need. There is a need to clean up some, if not much, of what is in our community. How do we go about that without blaming the victim?
That's a very good point. And what you've raised here is the function of comedy. See, comedy is to force us to observe ourselves in ways that are humorous and yet at the end of the day that cause us enough discomfort with the status quo to make a change. And so we ought to be self-critical, but I don't see the black middle class being self-critical. I see the black middle class being critical about the poor. The black poor can be critical about themselves often and also critical of the middle class. The question is, can we use our resources to tell the truth as best we can about the moral deficiencies we have without reinforcing the victimization of poor black people? And I think there is a way to have that conversation. In fact, we've often had that conversation in black communities when we know it was appropriate for us to mercilessly point to the problems we possess. And you know what, Ed? If you go to any black church on any given Sunday, the likelihood is that you're going to hear some of that going on. We're not only talking about indicting white supremacy, we're talking about black capitulation to moral suffering. And so I think it's important for us to find that middle ground and that the ability to be self-critical while not pretending that the dominant culture doesn't play a role. And this, by the way, Ed, is where I have another major bone of contention with Mr. Cosby. He dismisses or slights or minimizes the continuing impact of structural features of racial oppression, social injustice, economic inequality, and the disparity in education between the black have-gots and the black have-nots. He says, yeah, it exists, that is white supremacy or systemic racism, but he rushes on to talk about our responsibility. The best black leaders, intellectuals, thinkers, and thought leaders have always known that it is both and. And we do not do service to ourselves by easily reaching out to slap the most vulnerable as opposed to picking them up and enabling them to do better. Jesse Jackson said, when you're in a ditch, do you want a shovel or do you want a rope? Mr. Cosby threw down a shovel to dig the poor deeper into the ground. I'm trying to lower a rope to help pull them up. Not me only, but all of us who are concerned honestly and earnestly about the poor should do the same.
Mike, how do you bring to bear the idea that there will be those who suggest that the people that you and I both spend a lot of time with, black intelligentsia, black leadership, critics will say aren't doing their job because if they were, Cosby wouldn't be out there speaking about this because someone else would be talking about it and taking care of it?
First of all, black leaders like Jesse Jackson have even more bluntly than Bill Cosby spoken about the moral deficits of Black America. Martin Luther King Jr. assailed Black America for what he called the deficit of initiative. But he quickly added, as did Reverend Jackson, that even as we indict Black moral failure within, we often understand that white folk will be hypocritical because they will never be honest about their moral failures. They will never take themselves to task about their ethical failures, but they will pile on when it comes to Black people. And furthermore, many people have said that perhaps Italians going to an Italian situation, Jews going to a Jewish situation, Irish people going to an Irish situation, celebrating the achievements of their ethnic groups, wouldn't have what they argue is the self-hating impulse to castigate the vulnerable among their people in a fashion that the broader world could hear and therefore misuse. So I think that the whiter world embraced Mr. Cosby as a moral hero and an ethical leader precisely because they wanted to not hear Jesse Jackson and figures like him who were saying, yes, we must clean up our act morally, but you, white America, must be held accountable and responsible for what you have done as well.
Let me ask you this before we let you go, Mike. How do you stop, and is this part of the impetus of the book, how do you stop what is clearly a growing cultural divide within the African-American community?
That's a great point. And yes, the point of the book is to arrest that development because I think it's a lethal one. And look, there are huge divorces and divides and chasms in Black America between the have-gots and the have-nots, between the moneyed and the poor, between the educated and the non-educated. And there are huge and growing chasms daily. And I want to say that it's not simply about generation, it's about genre. If you were attracted to thuggery in the 1920s, chances are you're going to be attracted to thuggery now. Mm-hmm. The same kind of Black people who were griots.
So Donald Goins is simply a gangster rapper today.
That's all I'm saying. And if Donald Goins was here today, he'd be Snoop, he'd be Biggie, he'd be Tupac, and so on. And James Baldwin is related today to a person like Nas or to writers who think